It is the People's Show, and we've got our next guest now joining us, Ryan Kessler, former Vancouver Canuck. How's it going, Kess?
Good. How are you guys?
It's good. It's good. Thanks for making time for us. Trade deadline day, always fun in Vancouver. They move out Adam Gaudette, and it's a player where you see some offensive upside, but maybe the defensive part of his game still hasn't really come around, and he's 24. How difficult is it at the highest level, Kess, to just start to find that 200-foot game as a center, which is kind of what the stumbling block has been for Adam Gaudette?
Well, you know, I think it's a mindset, right? You know, I think one back when you think when I came to the league, I had a guy that I think everybody knows in the city, Trevor Linden, really take me under his wing, and being under Mark Crawford and him expecting me to be defensively responsible really just instilled almost a fear that if I made a mistake, I was getting set. And, you know, I think some guys are a little too lenient, not saying that Travis is at all. Like, I think Travis is an amazing coach, but you see it in the league now where guys come into the league and they don't have to be defensively responsible and they kind of get away with stuff. And you know, I believe I was brought into the league the right way and really just take care of your own end first. And then as my role evolved, my offensive production evolved, and then I was able to spread my wings and take a little more risk.
Well, and the thing too, Kess, is, yeah, you got to have confidence, but you also need an organization to believe in you too. It kind of has to go both ways. Like sometimes that's why you see sometimes guys have better fits elsewhere or they have to mature. But how big is it also, you can feel when an organization believes in you as well. And if they believe in you, it's worth investing. If they don't, it probably isn't. But you also get that sense. You know when a team is invested in you developing and being patient with you.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if you don't have that trust from the coaching staff or the GM, it rears its head pretty soon. And you kind of, I mean, if you're smart enough, you realize that you're not trusted or not wanted. And that's when guys ask for a trade.
Kess, there's a question with Gaudette is like, he's a bit of a in-betweener, right? Like he's maybe got that scoring upside, but defensively he doesn't necessarily have that game yet. I remember talking to Manny Malhotra a few years ago, and he mentioned that, you know, for a young player, at some point, you got to find your niche. Is that something that, you know, you were paying attention during your career? Is there an age range, or is that case by case where you're saying, okay, you know, at some point, you got to figure it out? Because it seems like Gaudette is still kind of in that in-between range.
Well, that's not something you want to be known for as a tweener. I think Manny hit the nail on the head there. You have to find a part of your game that a team needs and that you relish in, whether it be, you know, an energy guy, the guys that goes out there and hits, and or a defensively responsible guy, or a guy that scores goals. Because if you're a tweener and you're okay on the defensive side, you hit once in a while and you score a goal here and there, there's a lot of guys in the world that can do this. And if you don't find that niche and you don't find that area of your game, you know, even on the defensive side, you know, if you're not good on draws, or if you're laxed in the defensive zone or on the defensive end, sorry, my alarm clock's going off.
It's all good.
Yeah, sorry, right in my ear. if you're,
was
if
it a reminder or a nap? Were you napping, or was it a reminder for something?
It was a reminder for you guys, but obviously it went off like 7 minutes late, so that's great. no, but to get back to what I was saying, it's so huge to find that area of your game. And for me, I made myself in the lineup every night because I was defensively responsible and the coaches could trust me. And, you know, I just don't think Adam has found that yet, and he will. You know, he's a good player, but it's not going to be with Vancouver anymore.
You were on a lot of good teams through your career, obviously, in Vancouver and Anaheim. What was deadline time like in the room? Were you jazzed up to get an extra piece for the playoff push? How was it all during your career?
You know, to be honest, it was really quiet most of my years. You know, maybe a move here or there. You know, when you have a team that's on the bubble, like we did a couple times, you expect guys get moved, but really it always ended up that nothing really happened. Maybe a guy here or there, a minor league guy got moved, but really the exciting time was 2011 when we picked up Higgins and LaPierre and I don't even know who else, but those two guys come to mind, and those two guys played a big role. And I knew Higgins before I played with him on the U.S. national team, and I knew him and I knew how good he was. And I played against him in the AHL and the NHL, and just bringing those two guys in just gave our group that was already, you know, best in the league, a huge boost. And it gets exciting when you bring guys like that in.
Is on the flip side, when you are a contender sometimes too, and say your team doesn't make the moves as you want to see, is there a sense of it gets deflating too? Is there a flip side to that? Like if there's a year where you guys feel like, okay, we need some help, but if that help doesn't come, is that frustrating, or do you guys not think about that?
You know, I think it depends year to year. If you think you got a good enough team to go, there's no need to make moves. But you know, the longer you play, the more jaded you get. And then there's always the GM that comes in and says, you know what, we believe in this group. And you always think, like, do you believe in us, or couldn't you make a deal? So it's, you know, it's the same talk every year. If a GM doesn't make a move, he comes in and tells the group that he believes in them, and you know, this is the group we're going forward with. Really, it's like, okay, we really don't know if you guys are going to make the playoffs or not, so we're just going to stay the course here.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Ryan Kessler. Ryan, today, or last night, Taylor Hall gets shipped off to Boston. You've seen this guy. You've played against him from your days back his days in New Jersey as well. When you watch him play, what do you see, and do you think it could work in Boston?
You know, straight line player, guy that obviously was an MVP, but what I see is how many teams he's been on in the last 4 or 5 years. That's what's, you know, worries me. And you know, just the season he had this year, and then when he sits, I think Buffalo might have a winning record right now when he sits. So it's a risky move for Boston. You know, hopefully they did their homework, and you know, if it works out, good for Boston. I think they got a really good player that has big upside. Like, obviously, he hasn't had the year, 2 goals in how many games. I mean, it's not what you want from a player. I mean, I don't even know how that's possible when you have Taylor Hall having 2 goals. I can't fathom that. And he's healthy, so... I bet you he's disappointed, and he's looking forward. Hopefully it energizes him and he gets back on his game. But I'm not a big Taylor Hall fan. I never have been. And yeah, let's leave it at that.
Yeah, and he's justifying it right now with the way he's been playing. Now, one of the big things too, Ryan, especially when it comes to this year at the trade deadline, with, you know, the expansion draft being a consideration and no move clause situation, and as you know, being in Vancouver and, you know, getting traded and having some control of your situation, people on the outside may look at it differently, but from a player's perspective, when you have a no move clause, you really control the process moving forward, but it's not always easy to navigate because you got pressures from the team, you got fans feeling a certain way. How did you navigate that, and what would your advice be to guys that get approached by their team saying, hey, we're looking to move you out, and what can you do to help us out with your list?
You know, that's a tough one. You know, I understand how the fans feel, and for me at the time, you know, players take less money to have security, to have a no trade clause, to have a no move clause. So they can keep their family in one spot. And then if they do want to move you, they can't ship you to pick a spot in the league that you don't want to live, you know, or a team you don't want to go to. My biggest thing, if I was going to get traded, I want to get traded to a contender, somewhere where I could possibly win, somewhere where my family would enjoy it. So, you know, I think that's first and foremost. But, you know, with my situation, you know, I'll tell you guys a story. I gave Vancouver 6 or 7 teams. It was, yeah, when they came to me and asked me for teams, I talked to my agent. It was like Tampa, Pittsburgh, Colorado, Detroit was in there, Chicago, Anaheim, and maybe the Rangers. And I didn't get traded at the deadline. And then summer comes and Jim Benning comes in, and I really sat down and really thought, and I'm like, you know what? I just gave them half a team and they couldn't deal me when I asked to be dealt. And, you know, I heard Pittsburgh had a deal for me and it fell through. Don't know why, still to this day. But they go on and win the cup. So then summer comes, Jim Benning gets hired, and Jim calls me and he's like, my agent he's like, okay, we have your 7 teams. We're going to get the work here. I said, Jim, it's not your fault, but it's 2 teams now. And he got all mad with me. And I was like, Jim, I asked it dealt last year. You put me in a really bad spot the rest of the year. Everybody knew I wanted out, my teammates, everyone. I had to play. I know it's not your fault, but these are the cards that are dealt now. And this is the 2 teams I want to play for, with Chicago or Anaheim. And I said, I'd appreciate it if you got it done. And he did, he was good about it. And he's like, okay, I understand. And it wasn't an FU to the fans. It wasn't an FU to him. It's just, you know, I thought about it and teams change, right? Like Detroit went down the tubes after that year, so I didn't want Detroit. And then I looked and I was like, you know what? I really like where these 2 teams are headed. And, you know, I finished my career. Do I wish it would have went differently in Anaheim? Yeah. Do I wish it would have went differently with the way me and the fans were? 100%. Do I really appreciate the way the fans treated me when I came back for Henrik and Daniel's jersey retirement? 1,000%. Vancouver will always be home to my family. Vancouver will always be where my son was born, and I love it there. And I go back every summer. Well, I used to. I used to go back all the time now, but as soon as COVID hit, I kind of put a jam in things. So that's really, I know I'm getting off base, but that's what a no trade clause can do in taking less money and allowing you to pick the team. Because I heard they're going to ship me off to Buffalo or something, and they're going to ship BX off to Buffalo. And that was a team that was in the dumps then. And that's not where you want to go. I don't want to bring my family there. Nothing against Buffalo, but really it's about earning that, because you have to earn that. They don't just give everybody a no trade clause or a no move clause. You have to earn that. And to be honest, they gave that to me. So why would I not use that? Or why would Taylor Hall or whoever not use that to their advantage? If they didn't want to give that, or if a GM didn't want to give that to a player, then he shouldn't have gave it to him. But since I took it, and Taylor, we 100% have the right, no matter what the fans think or the GM thinks, we have the absolute right just to give one team if we want. And mm-hmm. that's where it comes down to.
Yeah, you've negotiated for that, and it's great to hear those behind the scenes, we've generally heard like one side of the conversation, but to get the details from your end and how that conversation, it's not like it goes through the many months and it stays the same. No, from a player's perspective, it changes. And we've seen it change from a team's perspective when a guy gets hurt. All of a sudden, teams and their point of view about a player change as well. All right, I wanted to get your thoughts on something, Ryan, though. Your boy, former teammate Shane O'Brien, he broke the Brandon Montour trade this past weekend. So do you think Obi has what it takes to be that next insider in the game? Is he like Elliot Friedman Jr.?
So he broke the trade. I didn't know that. This is news to me.
He did.
So do I think Obi? Yeah, I mean, 100%. Obi's a good dude, and I really like Obi. And you know, I hope he finds his niche. I know he has his podcast, and he's working the media angle. So yeah, 100%. I think he can do that.
Ryan Kesler, our guest here on the People's Show. I know you had a lot of battles with Tanner Pearson through your career. The Canucks just re-signing him. You know, what makes Tanner Pearson a valuable player that, you know, even in a down year like this, Canucks certainly felt like they needed to stick with him?
You know, I think he's a modern-day Rafi Torres, right? He's a guy that you got to be aware of on the ice, kind of a wrecking ball that can score, you know, good net front presence. And you know, everybody wants a Rafi type on their team, right? A guy that does everything to help the team win. And I think that's a great signing for Vancouver.
Kes, we really appreciate the time as always, man. We'll be talking soon. Thank you for this today.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.